This is HPR episode 1917 entitled OpenSource.com and is part of the series Interviews. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 15 minutes long. The summary is Klaatu interviews Ricky Endsley from OpenSource.com.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by AnHonestHost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hi everyone, this is Klaatu and I'm at the All Things Open conference with Ricky Endsley, who is the I guess not the managing editor of opensource.com?
I am one of the community managers.
Okay.
Yes. And so I do editing also, but Jen Y. Kuger is our content manager, which is really like a managing editor.
So tell me, what is opensource.com?
It's a community site. It's supported by Red Hat, but the content's actually contributed by the community. We shoot for having at least 65% of the content every month contributed by non-Red Hatters. We have a pretty small staff on site, and then we have about 20 moderators, community moderators that are located around the world, and they help contribute a good chunk of the articles, usually between 25% and 30%. Or 35%, and then they help us find different writers. You know, we're always looking for new writers, and then we have a lot of people who love the experience so much they come back for more and they continue contributing.
What kind of stuff gets posted on opensource.com? I mean, are we talking breaking news stories, cross posts from Slashdot, or what is this?
We don't do a lot of breaking news. Occasionally we will do somewhat breaking news if one of us is at an event and gets a scoop and we are able to post it fast enough. But generally they are updates to projects or announcements about projects or personal stories about how open source technologies, software, hardware, or methodologies are being used in different communities around the world.
One of the articles I remember really well is the, and I think it was like one of the top articles for a long time, on what, like nine things that this guy, the author, loved about KDE. So, I mean, it seems like there are some, I guess I would say, opinion pieces. Like, how does that fit into the rest of the stuff?
Yes, anytime we have an opinion piece, though, we do want it to be pretty practical. For example, that one, you know, we also tried to find a matching article about GNOME because GNOME's very popular, but nobody was wanting to write that article apparently for a while. But, you know, we wanted to know why he liked, you know, KDE. And so it wasn't, we wouldn't run an opinion piece that's not backed up with why somebody prefers something or why somebody uses something. We want, you know, to help people who are new to open source or experimenting with open source to find out more about some of the technologies.
Writing is sometimes considered kind of intimidating and difficult, especially if that's not kind of what you think of yourself as doing.
Absolutely. Very few of our writers are professional writers or very experienced writers even. We actually have published quite a few pieces that are the first time people have been published, you know, and maybe they weren't even expecting to write, and we've reached out and requested articles. We Jen and Alex Sanchez and Jason Baker and Jason Hibbets and Brian and I all kind of share the load of helping different people their articles, depending. We all have different strengths also and different areas of interest, so we, you know, we will work one-on-one, or a couple of us will work with different writers and help them, you know, and give them feedback on their articles, or help them come up with a better outline, you know, and do revisions, and then send it back so that they can do another round of revisions or see what we've done, and so they still have, you know, final say on whether or not they like what we've done with their article.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's actually one of the we did a poll with some of our writers a few months ago and asked people, why do you like writing for us? Because we just wanted that feedback, you know, because what we thought we were doing and, you know, what people were getting out of it, we wanted to make sure those aligned. And I was surprised to see how many people said they liked writing for us because it had given them more confidence and it had improved their writing quite a bit. Some people said it helped them get jobs, you know, or yeah, it helped them have the confidence to submit articles to other publications or to, you know, write more for their own blogs too.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of, it's funny because that's one complaint I sense that people get a lot about sort of getting into open source at all. Like, not opensource.com, like open source the thing.
Right.
Is that they don't have you know, they kind of want a little bit more hand-holding than what is usually available. And it sounds like opensource.com is kind of like, I mean, it's contributing to open source in the sense that you're writing about open source,
right,
and, you know, distributing ideas. And it sounds like there's a little bit of guidance there. So
yes, and I think that, you know, we try to get back to people really fast. You know, we try to get back to them within a couple of business days, you know, and on the long end would be maybe, you know, 5 business days, which in my experience is ridiculously fast for publication.
Yeah, yeah.
I've submitted proposals and never ever heard back from editors before, or 6 weeks or whatever, you know, and so we really try to, you know, help people have the confidence. You know, we work with a lot of non-native English speakers too, and that can be, you know, a barrier for a lot of people writing for English publications, you know, and so we're able to, you know, localize their text, send it back so that they sound like anybody else who's writing for us, but we try to keep their voice still and their message, you know, and then again, they have the option to make sure we haven't changed their meaning by reviewing it again. But yeah, we definitely want to be, you know, a good entry point into open source. I launched a documentation column this year, for example, and it's a community column that anyone can contribute to. And often documentation is a way that people can get into different open source projects, right?
Yeah.
Because if they don't have the confidence or the skills yet to contribute on different areas, documentation always needs improvements and updates.
Right.
And so that's a really good way to get involved with communities, and so they can learn from these articles we're doing, or they can you know, submit their own.
So looking at it from the flip side, how do you as a publication kind of avoid, like, I mean, I would think with sort of an open submission policy like that, that you get sort of thinly veiled, like, marketing spiels, or does that not really happen, or how do you protect against that as a...
Well, most of them aren't thinly veiled at all.
Okay.
Most of them are quite obvious,
yeah.
And when I worked, you know, at for-profit publications, mm-hmm. we had a policy of not working with third-party submissions. We wanted to work with directly with the developer, you know, or product manager or whatever, and we did not want to work with anyone in marketing, because it did require a lot of work on our end, you know, to go in and make it be an interesting article as opposed to a marketing piece.
Right.
On opensource.com, however, we will work with marketing people, and we are just honest and send it back, and we'll say, this has way too much marketing in it. Here's the part that's interesting to our readers.
Okay.
If you can expand on this, you know, or I'll even send an outline, like, if, and, you know, the first part of the article include this, do this part in the, you know, middle, make sure that you cover this, and at the end, tell us how to get involved with your community.
Yeah.
And so we actually have quite a few people with marketing backgrounds who are writing for us, because once they understand that, I mean, it's a wonderful fit, because they are doing their jobs, they're marketing whatever they're on,
right.
They are working well with us, we're getting the cool story, because
yeah.
people actually want to know about these products and projects,
right.
you know, and technologies, but they just don't want to have to read the marketing speak that's involved, you know.
Right, so it's actually probably a good way for a small open source project. This would be actually a really effective way to, I mean, not market, but at the same time, like,
oh,
spread
absolutely.
The word, I guess.
No, absolutely. Because, and also, or anybody who needs help, you know, with marketing or documentation, because we don't control the content. You know, we're
right.
going to go ahead and provide editorial services and social media services, but the content's under a Creative Commons license on our site.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
unless an author has worked with us to have a different license, we prefer to have a Creative Commons license so that the author can then use the content on their own blog or their, mm-hmm. you know, their company site or however they want to use it.
I think it'd be great if you had a documentation column about video editing, like, as a feature, maybe on a monthly basis. I think that would be amazing.
That would be so amazing. Do you know the right person for that?
I might. I'll have to contact him. I personally know your background because I've known you for a couple of years, but what is your, what's your background with writing and sort of the magazine or the publication market?
When I was young, I wanted to be a writer and, you know, possibly work on magazines, maybe a rock and roll magazine or something.
Oh, cool.
But I accidentally got started on SysAdmin magazine quite a few years ago. And I thought that would just be, you know, my first editing job. But I really fell in love with the community. You know, at first it was Unix SysAdmins, and then we expanded into Linux SysAdmins also.
Wow.
And so it became, you know, I was working with my friends at that point, and so I wasn't going to leave, you know. And so I did that for around 10 years. And then I moved to Linux to Media and worked on Linux Pro Magazine and Ubuntu User, which we launched there, and Admin Magazine and some special publications. And then after that, I switched to writing and did a bunch of freelance writing for different online tech magazines. And I worked as a community manager for Usenix.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I love that group, and I worked with them a lot when I was at SysAdmin Magazine.
Yeah.
And so I really liked that group, and I liked Login Magazine, which is, you know, their magazine.
Okay.
And so I was a managing editor of it. Wow. And it's a magazine I've always respected, you know, so I enjoyed being part of it. And then more recently, you know, I came over to Red Hat, and after about a year at Red Hat working with the open source and standards team, doing social media and helping them with their blogging and their outreach, I moved over to opensource.com. So this is actually my first publishing role that's not really in publishing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a sponsored site, which is in one way the future of publishing. I don't think that print is going away. I think it's evolved, and long live print, I love print. But this was a model I hadn't tried before, and mm-hmm. so I'm really enjoying it, and get to work with a different set of people, get to cover the same kinds of technologies and communities, but under a different model, so it's been fun.
It seems like a good fit for you, because I'm always seeing you at conferences, so it seems like, I'm like, for someone who was in print for so long, you were strangely visible, you know. It's like it felt like you should be sort of like, I don't know, online where everyone could sort of reach your work. So,
right, yeah, 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 no, it's been fun. I'm a people person, I guess, yeah, and yeah. And then I also need, I'm a mix of introvert and extrovert, I guess, you know, because I'm a people person, and then I need my reach charge time, and that's where I, you know, hole up and write my articles or do some editing, and then I get energized again when I go out, you know, and go to an event and meet people one-on-one.
Yeah. So how do potential authors, well, first of all, so you've got RSS feeds and stuff like that, right? I mean, what's the way that people consume your articles, do you find? Like, what are you seeing people doing? How do people read your articles, or the opensource.com articles?
Well, RSS feeds obviously are a big one, like you said, and then people find out about them on social media, you know, word of mouth. We're very active on Twitter and G+.
What's the Twitter handle?
Open Source Way.
Okay.
We're on G+ and Facebook, and we just launched an Instagram account, and then we also have a free node, opensource.com channel. And so a lot of it's word of mouth and Twitter. And then
the free node channel is literally opensource.com, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Which I didn't know you could do.
I didn't know you could do that.
Apparently you can, because that is increasingly active now. It wasn't very active a few months ago when I started on the publication. Mm-hmm. I was never a fan of IRC when I was in publishing, you know, but then when I was on the open source and standards team at Red Hat, I was on it all the time because I was working with all the developers, right?
Yeah.
And so when I came to opensource.com, I said, we really have to be more active, you know, because we want to be where the people are, you know, and so that's why we're trying to be everywhere. You know, there are some areas that we just don't have the bandwidth. Like, you know, we launched a Pinterest site and a Flickr site, but we just don't have the bandwidth and the audience to maintain those as much as some of the other ones.
So do you feel like your team sort of does like sort of the promotion of the site, and then the community contributes to the articles, or is it not that divided? Like, what do you think the balance of contribution is?
With content or?
Well, that's what I mean. Like both. Like, I mean, content plus like sort of maintaining the site as a thing.
It's really both, you know, because in fact, we had a meeting one time and we were talking about something on the site, and I remember someone in the team asked, are we a community or are we a publication? And I said, yes. You know, and I think we are equally a community and a publication, and that's what we're going for. And so we participate also in writing articles, you know, have very close relationships with many of our writers. We also work with our writers making suggestions on how they can help promote their content too, because obviously they want it to do well and reach the people they're trying to reach. So. It's a little of both.
And that is good, I guess, because it is a very, I mean, opensource.com, first of all, is a great domain. I mean, that's just like a really good domain name.
Like the best, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the ideal. And then, so if people publish their stuff on that site, then they can basically refer anyone from any community to their article, and it's pretty legit.
So right, yeah, and good. It's nice because it is, people are mixing from different communities and finding out about, you know, different projects, and so it's kind of a melting pot,
that's
know.
Nice. Yeah. How would people, if they want to contribute an article or even just pitch an idea to see if it could be an article, how would they go about doing that?
Again, we try to be wherever the people are, and so we're pretty flexible. We have people who will shoot us an idea on Twitter, you know, or on leave a comment on G+ or Facebook. Then we also have an email address, open@opensource.com, and all of the editors are copied on that, and so one of us or multiple ones of us will reply, you know, with feedback. And then we also have a web form on the site, and that, it used to just be people shot an email, but we expanded the web form to kind of walk people through the process. Tell us a few things about your background and what is your relationship with the topic that you're writing about. You know, did you launch it? Are you contributing to it? Is it just something you like? And then a brief outline of what you plan to write about, so we kind of have an idea and can help them. You know, if we don't, sometimes, you know, we'll say, well, that's not going to do well on our site. But we've seen with other articles, you know, if you tweak it this way, you're more likely to have readers, and so we can work with writers that way.
Thanks a lot for talking to me about opensource.com, Ricky.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It was fun as always.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.